Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. It's 3 o'clock, but we are jumping right into Old School here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. DP wants to say more about that. Maybe he can. It's Austin Orman and DP with you here. Normal time for On the Block. But DP, let's just lead the show. Looks like we're headed into a 3-hour block of Old School from 3 to 6 moving forward, potentially.
I like it.
Let's do it. It's sports and entertainment for 3 hours.
No matter what it's called,
where else would you rather be than right here, right now? That's how we get down. So I'm all in.
Indeed. We also get down with the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, special ingredient butcher shop with 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. You can check out their selection online before you head in as well at themercadobutcher.com. Their locations are at 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, and 85th and Old Cheney here in Lincoln. They're also located at 168th and Maple up in Omaha. You can get to the Mercado today for the best meat in town. 402-464-5685. If you want to be a part of the show, you can send us a message on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line or by dropping us a comment on stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stream comments open for you. Thanks as well to the great people at Starter Heyman Jewelers. I would say that hotline is probably the best place for you to go if you're watching on Allo Channel 961 as well. DP, lots to get into when it comes to training camp. We are going to laugh at the Dallas Cowboys coming up. So I know you don't need much of an invitation to do that, but we'll get you ready for everything going on down in Jerry World and adjacent to it. But first, let's start closer to home, start here at Nebraska. And a player that holds a lot of intrigue in a lot of Husker fans' minds is a guy who made a mark last year, but not exactly a dent. And that's wide receiver, tight end, hybrid, and leaning more tight end this year, Carter Nelson. Now, as a Colts fan, hearing the way that Matt Rhule and Dana Holgorsen, even Marcus Satterfield last year, have talked about Carter Nelson, maybe it's a cop-out, maybe it's just the easy answer, but I wonder how much Tyler Warren the Huskers see in Carter Nelson. I get it. You're not going to use him exactly the same. You want him to be the best Carter Nelson he can be. But Tyler Warren was that versatile tight end that lined up all across the formation. And we've heard Matt Rhule refer to Carter Nelson many times as a football player. That's the guy they lined up in the backfield, handed the ball off to at least once last year. I'm starting to wonder if the Huskers don't think they have a Tyler Warren light on their hands here in Carter Nelson.
So I'm in a space where I've had several people mention the comp game. The comp game becomes the mentally lazy way of painting a picture for people that may or may not be true. Like sometimes I can paint the picture, I can do the comp and get you to think of somebody that really isn't who I'm comparing them to or who they're actually producing at. Type of player, one thing. Style of player, another. Mm-hmm. Production of player.
Wildly
production
different.
Production of player is where the comps really have to matter. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's coach speaking. Let me redirect you into a warm and fuzzy place in thinking, right? Why would you go back to where you went back to? What in this system, in this current system, who is the tight end that's put out the most production? seeable, fact-checkable production.
Terms and numbers, it's Luke Lindenmeyer.
That's your guy. That's your guy. Like, we can you can tell me that we have the potential. We may have a guy. We may have found something. But Austin, I worry about Nebraska fans. I worry about Nebraska fans because you're constantly being sold.
Actually, I have to take that back. Carter Nelson actually had double the catches and almost double the yards last year.
Okay, so if Carter Nelson is that, but what are the exact numbers? What are we comparing to? What is the standard for tight end, returning tight end production for Nebraska football?
Last year, it was, Thomas Fedoni had 36 catches, 373 yards.
Gone.
You move down the tight end list. You get to Carter Nelson, ninth on the team, 10 catches, 86 yards and a touchdown. Nate Borkature, 6 catches for 102. And Luke Lindenmeyer, 5 for 50.
That's what we're talking about. That's the comp. The comp is that everybody that returned had less than the accumulative production of Thomas Fedoni.
Of one guy.
Who everybody connected to Nebraska football as a fan or player would tell you, well, that's not kind of what we were hoping for. Mm-hmm. Did we get from Fedoni what was projected?
Not what was projected.
Did we get what was expected?
I would say after the two knee injuries, you're happy with what you got. But in terms of expectations coming into Nebraska, no, I would say no.
Was he all conference?
He was not.
Was he... Was he the Huskers' leading receiver?
He did not lead Nebraska in receiving yards or catches, no.
So, and again, I'm only talking about what we know versus what we don't know. I understand that this time of year is about projection and otherwise. But the system wasn't set up for tight ends to be successful at the numbers that we may have in mind. Now, yes, let's ask the coordinator. In your planning and preparation, what's the production at the tight end position? How important is it in the pecking order for Nebraska to be successful offensively? What should happen mm-hmm. here? And if you tell me that the running game that it's all block no rock, okay, say that. If you're saying that they need to be a factor, then tell me what kind of factor they need to be. Where are you going to use them? I've said 100 times that for a young quarterback, and Dylan Royal is still a young quarterback, mm-hmm. that the easiest thing you can do to make them productive is proper use of tight ends. Mm-hmm. That's just running game, tight end. I'm not sure we're married on any concept that the running game is going to be what we want it to be to take the burden off of a second-year quarterback in the Big Ten Conference. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. You're talking about in a conference that produces tight ends. They produce them at a high level, productive tight ends. Mm-hmm. Where should Nebraska tight ends be? And is anybody in the discussion an all Big Ten conference tight end?
Not going into the year, certainly.
So, I don't know. There's lots to talk about. Projection-wise, but we don't know how they're going to be used. What's the favorite route combination for tight ends? Is the mesh concept, is that really the go-to, is to run them on crossers? Two tight ends running crossers, high mesh position depending on high safety, like low man under, first read. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Are we talking about using them in the slot? We're talking about getting them outside the numbers to get them isolated on a nickelback or safety coming downhill. What are you trying to do? Oh, run fake, run play action, slip the linebacker, get behind him into space, and then Dylan gets the ball out of his hand quickly. I don't know, right? We'll see some tomorrow, but I still don't know. I don't know what they're going to show. I don't know any of that. So, yeah, projections are fun. Are they realistic in this particular space, in this Nebraska space? Who was the last truly productive tight end in the passing game? All conference caliber production at tight end. Who would that be?
I mean, I have my favorite Nebraska tight ends, but in terms of actual all conference level production, I'll need to do some digging on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's literally where we go, is when we talk about this season, the practices, we're only going by what they tell us. We don't see them in full competition. You don't see ones versus ones. I'm not sure we know who the ones are. Like, do we know who the ones are? Do we know who the starting tight end, premier featured tight end?
No, I don't think they know that. So I don't think that we know that. Looks like Austin Allen was a first team All Big Ten player in 2021.
That would be as close to projection and use. Remember, different coordinator, different system, different quarterback, different running game for that matter. So I get.
But I guess if you're trying to model success, right, obviously it looks different at Nebraska than it does at other places. And we have a new, you know, full season of Dana Holgorsen. But if you see a school in your conference be successful with a Swiss Army knife type of guy, you're certainly at least taking some notes, whether you use it or not. If it you know, melds into your playbook, I just think there's an avenue for Carter Nelson to be that versatile piece. I saw this from a Colts writer on Twitter. Tyler Warren, 721 snaps in college last year. I think we can count out 32 snaps at quarterback for Carter Nelson. We can get those out of there. Mm-hmm. Backfield, probably not getting 57 snaps. Mm-hmm. Maybe double digits, though, depending on, you know, what Dana Holgorsen wants to do. Tyler Warren was an inline tight end, 327 of his 721 snaps at Penn State. In the slot, 222 of them. That sounds about right for Carter Nelson. If he develops as a blocker, if, you know, Nebraska truly likes that versatility and he's more than just a receiving tight end, if you will, right? Because we know that he's had to put weight on that frame, and that's not all that goes into blocking. Certainly seemed like he was a willing blocker, but maybe needs to get a little functionally better at it. But Tyler Warren, like Carter Nelson, I think also could be lined up out wide. 70 snaps out of his 721 for Tyler Warren last year. Will Carter Nelson feature on kick return? May as well. If he's that good an athlete, if you think you can trust him to block, maybe special teams, field goal, extra point. Tyler Warren was out there as well. And you talk all the time about copying success. Yeah, you copy success at Nebraska, but like you said, new coordinator, new scheme. And I think at the very least, Nebraska can be taking notes from Penn State and how they use Tyler Warren. Like, I wonder if Carter Nelson can do this. See if he can handle it throughout the fall and see how that matches up with what they want to do in the scheme of their offense.
What is the thing that would allow Nebraska fans to compare the two? You're talking about the premier tight end in college football. A unicorn of sorts.
One of the couple. Yeah, him and Loveland.
I'm not sure that I choose Loveland over Warren.
They're not the same guy.
Right? So for a variety, but the best of the best. In a unique situation, also understanding, would you say that Penn State's offensive line was better than Nebraska's?
Better.
Receivers, better a year ago?
Last year, not so much, I wouldn't say.
I don't think it's close.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of production.
I don't think Nebraska's production last year at wide receiver was close to Penn State.
Not like Penn State's was that great either, though.
Well, but in a meaningful situation, when Penn State, what was Penn State's record?
Penn State was last year. They were 13-3.
13-3, not the same.
No, not the same record at all.
Not the same production. Not the same quality of games. Not talking about production against quality of opponent. We have to be careful in putting them in spaces that they haven't earned being in. First of all, but if you're just competing, I think you can compare them to Nebraska last year, right? So what? The tight end position produced a year ago with a similar, at least some proximity to the coordinator and how he wants to use tight ends. Okay, so we need 40 catches from the starter. We'd like 40 catches from the starter. We would probably like 60 or 70 as a group in the space. What you're trying to get from it, how many touchdowns did the tight ends have last year?
Nebraska tight ends last year. Let me pull that up. We have Thomas Fedoni with 0 touchdowns. We have Carter Nelson with 1 touchdown. Nate Borkacher, Luke Lindenmeyer, and by the end of the year, Heinrich Harburg with no touchdowns. So 1 touchdown from Nebraska tight ends last year.
Like I understand we're in projection season and comp season. But I'll talk about it from the coaching side of it. That leaving last year, if I'm in the coaching staff in that room, one, I need to be purposeful in finding out what's returning in that room, mm-hmm. in that group. Mm-hmm. And the numbers, if the best of them is 10 catches with one touchdown, I need to be quiet and get to work.
Yeah, some work to do.
Like I need to be quiet and be to work. Matter of fact, I'm not sure I really want people looking at my room, to be honest. Right? If I haven't done any work, 10 catches. If you tell me that you had 26 catches with one touchdown, that's still not Big Ten caliber production to an individual, let alone a group. Now, better situation, a year in the program, a year in the system, a year with the verbiage, a year with the understanding, and a year with the same quarterback. Mm-hmm. Let's look forward and up. Mm-hmm. But projecting forward and up is really difficult to do because more pressure, more work. Remember, Fedoni was doing that and being he and Borkature being blockers 1A and 1B. Can you expect that level and production in the run game blocking with Carter Nelson? Can you project?
No, not individually.
You can't project it because that's not literally. He was beat out by people for those things mm-hmm. who existed, mm-hmm. who weren't at the level that you're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Then who's going to help? So it's he and Bonner, he and
Lindenmeyer,
Lindenmeyer, right? Projection will tell you we can't give them a whole bunch of things they haven't earned, but mm-hmm. we can say you're developing these players. You've had 6 months to bulk them up or get them in shape. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the thing. Better understanding of the playbook. Great. Wonderful. Better relationship and understanding of what Dylan Raiola needs from them. Okay. Exceptional. And then how do they work with the offensive line in the run game? And then how do they work with the receivers in the passing game? Mm-hmm. Two
wildly different questions.
Entirely different questions. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask you this. What's more important? What's the most important task for a Nebraska tight end? Running game. Running game responsibility. Because you're going to run the ball more than you're going to throw it. They are. And they're going to run the ball more than they throw it to tight ends.
They will run the ball more than they throw it to tight ends, yes. Will they run the ball more than they throw it?
If you can impact all of the running plays with high-level blocking, but you are not the feature or focus in the pass game, what's the priority of that position?
Probably run blocking.
Run blocking is the thing because you haven't proven to be able to do the other thing, and you're not doing the run game blocking at the highest level because – where did the Huskers finish in rushing a year ago?
In the Big Ten, I don't know. I can tell you they averaged 130.6 rushing yards per game on 3.8 yards.
Best carry. There? Is that the best there? Is that Big Ten best?
No.
Right.
Not.
Right. Right. That all of that. Like, and again, it's not even we can project whatever way you want at whatever level exponentially and say Nebraska tight ends, let's figure that they will catch, you know, 50 passes this year in whatever combination. Why? Because we can actually count up Fedoni's, Borkature's, like we can count the tight end receptions from a year ago. That's where we are. That's what the GPS tells us. Here's where we are. And here's how we got here. Now, what's ideal, and then what's the way? How are you going to get more production? One, the same production that you mm-hmm. got from the tight end room mm-hmm. a year ago. And then how do you get better production at the tight end position? With the priority being, one, you've got a tailback that needs you. Mm-hmm. Like, we understand mm-hmm. that it's a big deal. Then you have receivers that are going to need for you to take some of the burden off of them, some mm-hmm. of the stress off of them.
Pulse Myers,
right? Mm-hmm. All those in place. And then a younger quarterback. Drew Aller is more experienced than Dylan Raiola. Mm-hmm. We can say that we think Dylan has equal arm talent. we can say that we think that they either have better receivers in Penn State or not better receivers in Penn State. Either way, we're about to find out. Mm-hmm. But the projection is that the way Penn State's receivers are used in that offense and in that system helped them achieve 13 wins. Mm-hmm. You cannot say that for the production in the tight end room for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. We could, mm-hmm. like, you can go through and say, well, this will be a better year. Say it. Be hyped about it. Your love for Carter Nelson could be out loud and proud. Say it 100%. What are you trying to get from it, and where does it come from? Like, what's going to be the best route combination for Carter Nelson? What does he run better than anybody in the Big Ten? What route does he run better than anybody on the Huskers? Mm-hmm. And then what plays can you call in the running game that Carter Nelson or whoever's at tight end will have the most production, the most quality of blocks, mm-hmm. successful blocks in that space? That's what we're trying to find out at training camp.
Exactly. And we are, 4 or 5 days into training camp right now. I just thought it'd be interesting to look at how Tyler Warren was used and if that could be a model. But of course, if you look at Penn State's offense led by not one, but two really good, really, really good running backs in Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. Mm-hmm. If you look at their numbers last year, Catron Allen in 16 games, 220 carries at 5 yards a pop. Nicholas Singleton in a backup role, if you will, 172 carries at 6.4 yards per pop. Tyler Warren, the only player on that team, though, with more than 50 catches. He more than doubled up the next highest on that team mm-hmm. in terms of both catches and yards. 104 catches for 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns for Tyler Warren. I'm not expecting that from Carter Nelson or even Nebraska's tight ends as a whole. Don't get me wrong. I just thought it'd be interesting to look at the potential. You know, is that a model that Nebraska might want to follow? Because as much as, you know, Tyler Warren was that Swiss Army knife, I wouldn't go so far as to say the offense was built around him. I would say he was a beneficiary of the offense being built around a strong running game.
It's all an accumulation. 100 catches when you're the focus in the passing game. Mm-hmm. He's the focus in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew the best defenses in the entire Big Ten Conference and in the country keyed on this tight end. And he still finished with
104 catches for 1,200 yards.
Like, let's not say that everybody else was so terrible. No. When you have a unicorn, you go to the unicorn. Mm-hmm. Like, you feed the beast. Everybody talks about this. They said that in Philadelphia that the receivers are doing so well because you had this. You know, no. Saquon Barkley made everybody better. Mm-hmm. Everybody benefits. Mm-hmm. And listen, you guys are pretty good receivers on the Eagles. Pretty good receivers.
Few of them. Few of them.
Mm-hmm. You see none of them with 102 mm-hmm. catches, 104 catches. You know why? They're not Saquon Barkley. Warren was Warren. He's one of one. It showed up. It showed up in the season. It showed up in critical moments, critical third and fourth downs, right? It showed up critical. When everybody on the field knew he was going to be the target, you could double him. You could cap him. You could do whatever you want. You could resist him at the line of scrimmage. It didn't work.
No.
It didn't work. No, so comparing... I'd be more inclined. Tell me what Minnesota's receivers did, tight ends did. Show me what, like, I mean, in better space for the offensive production that we're talking about, right? We have to look more at Wisconsin and Minnesota than we are at Penn State and Ohio State. They're just not the same.
They're not the same, but I also don't think those places have a guy like Carter Nelson to compare, you know, athletically to what Tyler Warren did, which is why I went to that comparison. Production is one thing, and I understand that comes first.
If they wanted a Carter Nelson, they would have a Carter Nelson. You know why they don't have a Carter Nelson?
Because they don't want one.
They don't want one. They don't want one.
That's their choice.
That system-wise, production. Listen, I hate to tell people, but the people to win 13 games versus...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The people who don't, the people with 13 got it right.
They did.
They get it right.
And
the people, people that are playing in playoffs and conference championships, all that stuff, they got it right. Yeah, they did. They did. And it's not even a slight.
No, it's just a fact.
It's that somehow in a conversation, we're talking about 104 catch tight end versus a 10 catch tight end. What are we doing? Like, that's
so we're hoping, even, like you said, projection season. I'm not saying that's what he is or what he's going to be. I was going broad outlines of general usage, if that's what maybe Nebraska's
1,200 yards receiving. 1,200 to not 100. I don't know what magic elixir Carter Nelson drank over the summer.
And I don't think it's going to happen in one year either.
I'm all for it. Like, we need to share that. We need to share that. I think Carter Nelson has a unique skill set. Granted, unique in the space. And there are tons of tight ends that you can compare him to in the style of tight end that he would be. And then the style of tight end that he would be in this type of system, offensive system. But we're not going to say that in any realm can we imagine that Carter Nelson leads the Huskers in receptions and or yards and or touchdowns.
No, that's not what I was trying to get at. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Right? Like, if we said any of those, if he's going to lead in it, look, if he leads them in receptions, bravo. If he leads them in touchdown, at least we're getting production, right? If it's in yards, it means, look, you found some matchups and you've gotten this young man into space, and he's done some things after he caught the ball that would also require the team, one, Dylan Raiola, time up front for Raiola to get the ball to him, two, the outside receivers creating space and occupying defenders, and then third, removing linebackers from the fold and putting him one-on-one with either a nickel back or a backside safety. Now, that's a conversation you're willing to have, because that means you're scheming and developing for the thing to work the way you best need it.
That you envision it.
That is a thing we can hope for.
We will hope indeed. We'll take our first break of the show. More Old School after this.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It is Old School. Austin Orman and DP with you here for the next 2.5 hours or so here on Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Really appreciate them for their sponsorship of the show. Let's continue along that that thread that we were on there, DP, in terms of production at the pass catcher position, primarily now for Nebraska at wide receiver. Nebraska's leading receiver last year, freshman Ja'Cory Barney. He had 55 catches for 447 yards, playing primarily out of the slot. He had 11 more catches than Jamal Banks did, ended up about 140 yards shy of Jamal Banks in the yardage category, though, with 587 yards to Banks's credit. Then from there, you had 39 catches out of the backfield from Emmett Johnson, 36 from Thomas Fedoni, and then 34 catches for 455 yards for Isaiah Nair. So keep that in perspective, I guess, for Ja'Cory Barney Jr., who is not exactly a go-up-and-get-it receiver, at least not yet. Maybe he can grow into that. But right now, DP, a lot of Ja'Cory Barney's production is catch the ball, and then he would go down where he stands. Not a lot of yards after catch for a guy that it seems like Nebraska is going to need to generate some of that this year.
Well, and it's an interesting stat, because he is actually explosive with the ball in his hand. Like, that's the whole point, that if the whispers are true that he's going to be the punt returner of choice, please tell me that it is not to catch and take a knee. We've done that.
Seems like they're between him and Andrew Marshall, or a punt catcher.
Like, we've done that. Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. From his mouth, he seems to feel like he's going to be the guy. Not only is he going to be the guy, he's going to lead the country in punt return yards. That's direct from his mouth. So that tells me that there's a belief system that some work has been put in. It's not being handed to him. He feels like, quite frankly, I'm the best with the ball in my hands. And generally, that's what happens, is you get some confidence and the ability to be strong with the ball, and understanding that I don't have to catch and go to the ground, that yards after catch matter. It's a difference maker in the Big Ten football conference. Like, catching the ball and going to the ground in the Big Ten, listen, you're getting what you earn, but you're not getting what's all available. He was also talking about him as a kickoff returner. That, listen, look, and I would work to be the best in the country at that. Mm-hmm. He can do things with the ball. But if you run to him in a jet sweep, there's some elusivity. Like, there's some things that can be made happen in the space.
He got 10 of those last year, went for 130 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Right. So the conversation with receivers is, I need for you to catch the hands to the ball, feet to the ball, tuck, change location and elevation, change location and elevation. So once I take, as the ball's coming to me, I come out of my break, the ball's coming back to me, my last step should be to the ball. If go possible. If possible, look, go get it, attack the ball.
Don't wait for it.
And create separation from the closest defender. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't run into traffic. Rules of engagement. Don't run into traffic. But I also, once I catch it and tuck it, I need to have my head on a swivel. One, I have to trust my quarterback to throw me to green. Mm-hmm. Don't throw me to collision. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to trust you. Take care of your boy. Then, if you've thrown me and I trust my quarterback, and that's what receivers decide. Go to the ground, guys. I don't trust the process. The yards after catch guys have committed. You know what? Once I get it tucked, I then need to change my level on the field and my location on the field. So my horizontal line has to change and my vertical line has to change. I need to be where this safety with angry intention is coming downhill with a bullet. I need to not be where I was, and I need to get to where I need to be. Change your level. So if I catch it 35-yard line, hash mark, outside hash mark, I need to get pointed towards the 36 and either change direction inside the hash or outside the hash. Running backs and returners work from this. Receivers work from it as well. Hash, numbers, sideline. That is the natural progression because there are fewer people outside of those numbers than inside those numbers. There's fewer people. Catch it. I'm going to go from the hash. Right? If I'm running across a mesh route and I catch it, I break across the first hash, I catch it, second half, 36-yard line. What I should be thinking is 36 in a direction. If I can get vertical, I get vertical because that guy may be there. Or I can go away from him inside the hash a step and then get vertical. That's what happens. You yards after catch people. We would always coach that yard. We would track the yards after catch because they told me intent. Are we making good throws? Are we bobbling the ball? Are we running people into traffic?
Are we strong enough to break an arm tackle or, you know, bounce off a contact and stay upright and keep going?
Well, that's all in the purpose. Because if I'm catching the ball, tucking and getting into the fetal position, everybody's a good tackler. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the tackle for them. I'm making the play for them. What I want is for these Big Ten safeties. And I would say that there are four groups of safeties in the Big Ten, maybe five, who elicit some sort of physical fear, right? They're going to come out and put hats and backs on you. But the rest of the folks, first of all, how dare you think you can tackle me in open field? Second of all, how dare you try? Like, I'm going to put stiff arm. We had a rule, tear his face off. Catch, tuck, change level and location, and then eat. That part, and it has to be on purpose. If I think Jay Foreman's inside as a linebacker on a slant,
I better go outside.
I better get vertical and make Jay Foreman move. I better not go to where he gets his lunch. Mm-hmm. Between them hashes, linebackers eat. Mm-hmm. They eat. Mm-hmm. Safeties eat. It's outside the numbers and the hash to the sideline where I have some advantage, and I need to get there and do that. So that is training. That's mindset. That's belief system. It's all those things. It's the person who's a line drive hitter, but you know what? You got a fastball that I could lace up. Well, I'm going to do my job and get back to ball, but I'm also going to elevate. I'm going to lift. because I know I got you. Mm-hmm. And you can't lift on by accident. You can't elevate a baseball by accident. Mm-hmm. No. All those things, right? I'm not going to dunk by accident. I have to change elevation in order to do that. That is on purpose. That's what the Huskers. If somebody tells me he can't do yards after catch, I need to know why. I got to ask some more questions.
Just from watching him last year, what do you think held him back in terms of the yards per catch? Was it talent around him? Maybe guys were closer to him than they need to be. Needs one more step of separation. Was it body just being immature for a freshman? Was it quarterback? Maybe not throwing him to green, like you said. What can Nebraska improve and what can Ja'Cory Barney improve to make that yards per catch number go up?
Austin, that's excellent because that's all of them. It's all of them. Slight. I had a coach. He go, man, I can't wait for you to gain weight. You are so slight in your britches. Like, and he understood. Like, I understood exactly what he meant was that I could be explosive if I stopped playing in fear. If I stopped playing in fear of being hit hard, it changed some things. Yes, I have to trust a quarterback to throw me to safety. Don't lay me up. Don't lay me up and don't lead me to harm. Mm-hmm. Right. But we know that if your quarterback is 55% touchdown and 45% interception, you don't necessarily trust the decisions that are being made with the football.
No.
Right. There's either something wrong with the eyes, the mechanics, or the scheme. Right. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep sending me to the bad part of town? What would you say to a friend that keeps, hey, man, I need you to go down to 13th Street down there by where it's dark. It's going to be dark, and there's going to be some people that stand outside that you don't know. That just keep walking. Like, just
you'll make it through.
Keep walking. No, take your time. Chill. I need to be able to do my work. And the trust between the quarterback and the receiver is vital.
As a receiver, can you be taught spatial awareness, or is some of that just innate? Reading the field, understanding the concept, knowing what the defense is doing, and just maybe making an educated guess as to, once I have the ball, this is what my next move needs to be.
That's film study. That's all of the things. And if I watch how they run their cover two and how quick the safety gets downhill on this specific route. So when I watch film study, I know the seven routes that we're going to use for me to excel, right? Oh, okay. Here's the space. This is how against man coverage, I'm not worried. Zone coverage, I'm not worried. I shouldn't have to worry because, again, the rules of traffic. We think of linebackers as SUVs. If you run into traffic and they're still chasing you, keep running. Keep running. If you run into traffic and they're not chasing you, they're not pursuing you, sit down and eat. Sit down because that's not their job. They're holding space rather than pursuing. I have to know that when I go in motion, you see the receivers looking across. They want to see what coverage they're in too. Mm-hmm. I know where my greatest stress and duress is coming from. I need to know where the biggest linebacker is. I'm never worried about the cornerback. Mm-hmm. I'm never worried about the guy that's covering me.
He's already right there.
Listen, it's my job to separate from him. Mm-hmm. It's, again, my last step, top of my route, create separation, being strong enough to push off and create space that way, lower body separation of space, perfect. It is then I have to trust the quarterback to know that on film, it looks like this linebacker drifts. So get it to me in this space. I kind of know where that space is. I don't want him late with the ball, right? Know that that's actually open. No, mm-hmm. That was actually open. You could give it to me here. Or I'd go back to the huddle previous play and say, hey, listen, get it to me here. Get the ball to me here, and I'll do work.
And I got you.
Yep. You mm-hmm. know, one, where the stress is coming from, where the duress is coming from. It's your job to know, and it's also your quarterback's job to know. That's why you do film study as a receiver, you do film study as a passing game, and then you do film study together as a coordinator for the whole offense so that you can watch. Well, wait a minute. Also, I'm watching. If I'm not getting the ball, who can I go clean up? Like, I need to know, is this a guy that fills? Is this a patient guy? Is this safety going to wait? Is it Ronnie Lott? Who's back there? Is it Rod Woodson? Woodson's going to ball hawk. Ronnie Lott's going to try to take my head off. He will take the interception but he would much rather put you to sleep. Mm-hmm. You got to know who you're playing against and who you're playing with.
That's DP. I'm Austin. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. We'll be back to wrap up hour one of our 3-hour Old School right after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Putting a bow on hour one of Old School. A couple more hours to go after this. Austin, DP hanging out with you. DP, Hall of Fame game, 34-7, Chargers over the Lions.
Sir.
Sorry, not sorry, Nick Sainer. It's a preseason game that means nothing and everything all at the same time. But made a little bit of a news, made some waves by debuting the new virtual spotting system, not just the chain gang. Are you in favor of that new ball spotting system and measurement of the line to gain?
As a fan, I am fully in favor. I'm fully in favor. Like, I want to know. Like, just tell me what it is. Like, we know where the goal line is. Like, that's never been a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, not having a moving kind of sort of goal line. No, the goal line is the goal line. Out of bounds is out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Rock solid. Rock solid. Mm-hmm. Show me. Good. That's where I need to get. Kind of. Okay. Maybe get to the 32.5 yard line. And on the other side, as a coach, as the coach, I don't know what the presentation is for the coaches to know what the distance is to try to get it right. Is there some digital Bluetooth that will actually, you know, you move it 9.5 yards, it doesn't beep. You get to 10, right at 10, it beeps, mm-hmm. right? And it sits across from both coaches so they can see what it is. Mm-hmm. Players can see what it is.
But then there's those situations where you'll maybe cross and then you'll not be tackled. You'll not be touched. So you run back behind the line. So, oh, we had the first down, but you gave it up. So then you got to go back to that, which is where you're never going to get rid of refs and spotting the ball in terms of the interpretation of the rule.
Well, chips in football. Chips in football works.
Right, right.
Like, that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of surprised it's not there already. And I'm curious to see when they implement the chips inside the football. Is it just in the middle? How light are they able to make it? Or it's not like, do we need to get it so where the midpoint of the football crosses? That's where the chip is. So as soon as the chip crosses, that's it. Because right now, obviously, it's nose of the football. You get the nose of the football subjectively there, good enough for us. Are they going to put a chip in each nose of the football? Okay, well, what if you cross the goal line with it in an arm bar? And the long part crosses, not the skinny part.
You learn not to carry it that way. You learn not to carry it that way. There will be chips.
Well, you're not really carrying it like this.
Well, but that's what you'd say to it. If you're at the goal line, your mission is to get the ball, the tip of the ball over the goal line. Mm-hmm. And if you fail at that because you tucked and held it there, that's a whole different conversation. You're going to imagine that it happens. It'll be at the top of the inside of every goal post so that if the chip travels inside the chip, it's good. Outside the chip or over the chip, not good. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to figure those things out. That's all the stuff that's about to happen.
And then we have to figure out, okay, was the guy down or not before the ball crossed? Because how many mm-hmm. times does the knee stretch down? You'll have the center ding. You know, it went off, chip crossed. We still got to go back to video to make sure that chip didn't trigger, you know, before or after the knee was down.
There's so many things in this that, look, I love the human element. Like, it's a big part of it. Some of the great sports controversies is the human element. Mm-hmm. So changing it to microchip and microfish sort of thinking, and that's all those old heads using microfish. I would hope that the humans could get it right. But we also know humans are human. They're affected by personality situation. They're affected by distraction. They're affected by, if the data is the data, right? If you can create a data point, then just honor the data, read the data. Mm-hmm. And if you still get it wrong, that's fine. But read the data of where the goal line is, what the reader says. Hey, man, maybe you have some diabolical person running the microchip data reader who turns it off at the wrong moment, right? Mm-hmm. Or it glitches or whatever it is. But we'll take that because there'll be fewer mistakes. And ultimately, if the intent of the official is to get the call right, more information is okay.
And that's why I really like what baseball's done or about to implement with the automatic or automated balls and strikes, where umpires still calling the game, but they have the backup with the cameras and that whole system based on, of course, batter height, not batter stance. So the umpires still get to call the game, but both sides can challenge. They have a short window in which they're allowed to challenge, and it takes 15 seconds. And you're on your way ready for the next pitch. I'm not sure that's where football will be able to head, especially early on. But I think baseball has done a good job of mixing at the AAA level the human element with the important data that plays into this, too.
Well, think from behind home plate, it's much easier to use the data. For the strike zone, you can use the data. There are readers. Like, there's a buzzer that would go off if the ball was in the strike zone. The strike zone's digital. Here's where it is, and it can size up. You can say, well, they didn't adjust the Aaron Judge strike zone to the Freddie Patek strike zone, right?
But they do. They measure all that stuff.
Right. So to know what that is and then to have it correct and to not move it from left to right, to have the strike zone being black to black, bottom of letter to top of knee, okay, that's what we're working from. And that if that's the case, a ball that's thrown through that zone will buzz the home plate umpire. Hand goes up pretty quickly if you get buzzed for, you know, for a moment. And if it doesn't,
keep it in your pocket.
Hey, man. I don't know what to tell you. Big Brother said, not a strike.
Well, it's not there.
Not a strike. Talk to the system. Like, and it makes it easier.
Talk to your new computer overlords.
Right. Well, I mean, just here's the thing. Humans have proven that they are flawed and that they will be affected, whether it be by debt or by ego or by a variety of things.
Or by the fact that pitchers are now throwing 95 miles per hour on with their fastball on average, which is much different than it was when the game of baseball was invented up in beautiful old Cooperstown, New York, 100-odd years
ago. Seeing the Greg Maddux 88 is different than the 102. And it is full, right, to be able to make that decision in a tenth of a second. I love humans being human. I'm okay with it that we grew up in it. We understand it, but I also understand the desire. I sat with the Supernovas where they had the digital eye and I became a fan of it. I became a fan of it. You could see it.
You can get it right.
You can get it right. The mission was to get it right. It didn't, you know, prolong the games or any of that other stuff. Yeah. I just wish humans could get it right, but we've proven that we can't or won't.
Or can't, or some combination there. Let's go to break hour two of Old School. We're going to get DP up on his Laughing at the Cowboys soapbox. Jerry's at it again, alienating Micah Parsons. We'll talk about that to lead off hour two of Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.